The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
It's just going to be like up high.
Thank you very much for downloading the Evening Show podcast. I'm Gordon Smart and I'm very grateful for every single time you listen into this. It's a good one this week as well. Sanjeev Bhaskar, comedy legend, is on the show. What a lovely man he was when he popped in for a blether. And Ed Gamble, a very talented comedian who's part of the Radio X family as well. Used to stand in with Ellis James and John Robbins whenever one of them was a bit busy. On top of that, a classic album, which I think is one of the best we've done in the last 2.5 years on the Evening Show, Pearl Jam and 10, their debut album, Can You Believe That? It was outstanding. And the response we got when we played that out on the show this week was huge. It means an awful lot to a lot of the people who listen to Radio X on a regular basis. So thank you very much for downloading. Hope you enjoy it. And if you do, please leave a little review at the end. It would mean the world to me.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Gordon Smart here, and I've got a national treasure in the studio this afternoon. Have you ever been called that before, Sanjeev Bhaskar?
No, I haven't, and that, I don't believe it.
He's not happy with it.
I'm not. It's kind of like a national treasure. No, I'm not a national treasure. I'm not what even a treasure.
What qualifier? Not even a treasure.
No, forget national, just about, in some shape, way or form.
Well, you're an OBE as well. And you're the Chancellor of the University of Sussex.
That's true. That's true. Yes.
This is lofty. Do I have to refer to you as Sir or some kind of lofty title today?
Let's say yes.
Let's just call
you Sir. Just for the hell of it.
Thanks for coming in, Sanjeev. We really appreciate
pleasure.
It.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're in to talk to us about Porters, which is into its second series. So there were a few episodes where you're kind of a pilot with a brilliant cast. So Danny Mays was in it. I think he's a fantastic actor.
Yeah, he's brilliant. He's in this series. So the original three series that went out last year had most of the kind of actors who are in it now, Rutger Hauer.
I mean, that's incredible.
The
what a booking.
Rutger Hauer.
So Golden Globe winning Dutch star. He was in Blade Runner, I think. It's probably his most famous role.
The Hitcher was another one. Where Blind Fury was another one that I remember he was in.
You play a doctor in this.
Yeah, I'm a surgeon. Yeah. Right. Dr. Pradeep. And he is unhinged. And I don't often get to play unhinged characters. So it was a character I hadn't really played before. Mm. And then my agent said, and Rutger Hauer's in it. And I just thought, I just misheard that. You know, it's probably somebody else that I haven't heard of. Yeah. And then I turned up and there was the Rutger Hauer.
So the obvious question is, do you get to have a night out? Do you spend much time in his company? Do you get to socialise with him?
A little bit on set, yeah. There was a scene we were doing last time. He came up to me. I was desperate to talk to him and to find out whether, you know, any mention of Blade Runner would just kind of completely hack him off, you know, and it didn't. And so he engaged on that, which was great. And then at one point he said to me, he said, you're so good in that scene. And I said, oh, thanks, Rutger, thanks. He said, you're so good, I want to lick your face. And I thought, should I let him?
Yeah.
He's Rutger Hauer.
Yeah, feel free, Rutger. Crack on.
You can get me from there, Rutger.
Excellent. So you can see it on Dave in UK TV Play.
Yes, Thursday nights, yeah.
Thursday nights, brilliant stuff. I don't know if a lot of people know, but you started off as part of a musical double act.
Comedy double act, that's right.
With Nitin Sawhney.
With Nitin Sawhney, yeah.
He's done all right, hasn't he?
He's done okay.
He's done okay.
He's a member of the American Academy now, which is kind of very exciting.
So with that amazing musical pedigree and heritage, would you like to choose a song for Radio X? Jimi Hendrix, maybe? I don't know.
Love Hendrix. You're going to go for a Hendrix? You're going for a classic Hendrix?
We could do, yeah. Oh, Jimi Hendrix experience.
All along the Watchtower, then.
Perfect choice. Thank you very much, Sanjeev Bhaskar. More from him in just a sec.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Jimi Hendrix on Radio X. I'm joined by Sanjeev Bhaskar, OBE. He is the Chancellor of the University of Sussex. I just have to mention that every time. Just to make sure that they're getting their value out of you.
It's in my contract.
Now, Sanjeev, I've got a serious question to ask you. Do you think Goodness Gracious Me would be made now? Would it be commissioned?
That's a very good question. I think it probably would. It's very difficult to think of, the impact, or you know, the non-impact, if Goodness Gracious Me hadn't happened.
So
I think it would, because I think that, see, our primary aim with the program, even though it was, you know, British Asians kind of writing it and performing it, was to be funny, and it was not to be political. We thought any kind of political opinions we might have had, we thought, well, let that come through the comedy, because I think it reaches to a deeper point, but also that our primary aim of the program was to be entertaining, and so let people laugh first and then maybe get a political point if there is one afterwards, rather than the other way around where other people are very good at it, but to hammer a political point which then has a laugh in it, as was the other way around. And also because it was new territory, you know, it hadn't really been done before. Would it be made now? I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not sure. We were given free rein in a way. I mean, I that same question I think about with a film like Life of Brian, which is coming up to its 40th anniversary.
Yeah.
And I don't think Life of Brian could be made now. I think it's one of the best comedy films ever made because it went there. But I don't think it went there with any great hatred or any great kind of anger.
Being funny, wasn't it? That's the thing.
It's
I think.
I mean, it's satirical and funny because I don't think they were kind of hating on anyone. I think that if you write from that extreme anger and particularly hate, I don't think the comedy is particularly consistent.
Yeah, it wasn't cruel or malicious, was it?
Not really.
We had Ricky Gervais on recently, and he made a good point about our tolerance is probably lower than it's ever been, but people tend to be more offensive than we've ever been. Is that something you...
Certainly more offended.
More offended, yeah.
Yes, I think so, yeah. I think, you know, part of... social media is brilliant for lots of different things, but I absolutely believe we're living in an age of I'm offended, therefore I am.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people just define themselves by how offended they are that day.
Yeah.
And then you look for it, and... So I think he's right. I mean, Ricky's somebody who goes there. He goes there every single time.
Yeah. What's the worst gig you've ever done, Sanjeev? Is the one you could share with us that would maybe give some optimism to a struggling comedian at the moment who's maybe needing a little pick-up? But it doesn't always go perfectly, does it?
No, it certainly doesn't. Nitin and I were engaged to perform music and comedy before a theatrical showing of Guys and Dolls in Leicester. And so we drove up there and we set up in the bar, and they said, yeah, just as people are coming in, sort of 15, 20 minutes of jokey songs and stuff like that. And we said, okay, great. And we set up, and I said, so where's the PA that we kind of... And they said, no, we haven't got PA. We said, okay, is there a house system that we can... No, there isn't. I went, right, so all we've got is this stool that you've given us. They went, yeah. And then about kind of 600 people came in, ordering their drinks. The queue formed between Nitin and myself. Oh. So he was the other side of this queue. And we just looked like the worst mime act in history, because nobody could hear us anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember my throat going dry within about 30 seconds. And I had to ask someone in the queue if they'd get me an orange juice. And while we were on this staged bit, and the person said, I haven't got any money. And I said, oh, neither have I. And someone else, I said, I'll pay you back when I... And this discussion was happening in our gig time. So that was probably the worst one.
That's bad.
The Leicester gig, we got 15 quid. It didn't even cover the petrol.
And the orange juice as well.
I still owe someone the money for that.
£13.60. Right, more from Sanjeev Bhaskar in just a second on Radio X.
Radio X. Gordon Smart. Radio X. The Evening Show. Classic album of the week. X.
Oh, it's a beauty tonight. A debut album, can you believe it, from Pearl Jam, released in August 1991. That's 28 years ago. It's the same age as producer Vin, which is weird. I'm just looking at him right now. Imagine him as an album, and it's this one. Right, so this album was a sleeper hit. Wasn't an immediate success, but by 1992, it was number two in the US and massive all around the world. Features some brilliant songs, doesn't it? Alive, Jeremy, Once, Even Flow, Oceans as well. Now, most of the songs started off as instrumentals, and they were born out of a previous band called Mother Love Bone. Then Pearl Jam formed with a new vocalist, Eddie Vedder. What a singer he is. And he added some lyrics to the music. The album helped popularise grunge. Remember at the time, a lot of shoegazing in this country, but in America, grunge was massive, and then it came over here. Recorded in Seattle, written and recorded before Nirvana's Nevermind, but it found an audience around that grunge explosion. Very quickly made. The recording sessions lasted a month. It was mixed soon after that, and the band since have said that they would love to do it all again, but at the time it was all about heavy booming guitars and boatloads of reverb. The song Oceans had some lovely little additional percussion. If you didn't know about this before, it's a lovely little touch. A fire extinguisher is played, if you can do that, and there's pepper shaker noises in it as well. Some of the songs were initially instrumental jams, featured on a demo that Eddie Vedder was given when he was working as a security guard. This story's great. It was handed to him, the demo, by the original drummer from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. How about that? About worlds colliding. AllMusic called the album a flawlessly crafted hard rock masterpiece. Let me know your thoughts about it. We're talking about Pearl Jam and 10 tonight, 83936 and at Radio X. Give me your recollections. Did you go and see them? What did you make of the album? What does it remind you of? 83936 and at Radio X. So a double play from that album to celebrate the classic that 10 is. I've got Jeremy, but first, Alive.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week. X. Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. The Evening Show, classic album of the week. X.
Wow, Promise Shot classic album tonight, and you got it, Pearl Jam and 10. August 1991 that came out. It's 28 years old. Your messages are brilliant for this as well. 10 was the album that really got my love of music off the ground as a 14-year-old boy. Pearl Jam, Soundgarden and Blind Melon will always be my top three. Daly and Pontypridd. Nice one, Daly. Just imagine you're in the bedroom rattling the speakers with that. Brilliant stuff. Greg Dempster as well. Best album ever. Sound and the Fury, a strong start. And Space Toad's been in touch on Twitter as well. Pearl Jam 10, it changed my life. I had my heart broken and consoled myself with Black, had a tough childhood, consoled myself with Jeremy and Alive. It took me from early indie kid to grunge overnight. A deal sealed with an unplugged performance. Man, it's good. Thank you very much for those messages. God, it's been great. Really enjoyed it tonight. Alive, so that was the debut single. Eddie Vedder first hit the song on a demo tape. He went surfing after listening to the song, came back, wrote the lyrics, then mailed the tape back to the band in Seattle. Amazing just to think this was all in cassette tapes. The band heard his vocals, invited him to Seattle, and that was it. Pearl Jam were formed. Jeremy as well, that was the third single. The music was written by the bassist Jeff Ament. He said, we knew it was a good song, but it was tough getting it to feel right. The tune went from practically not making it on the record to being one of the best takes. Can you imagine? Nearly never made it. Have a little listen to that. The song you hear in the background is Even Flow. It's the song the band have performed live the most times. 800 performances of that song. Don't think there's a single fan in the world complaining about that either. Here's a little recollection for you, right, of my Pearl Jam memories. I went to school with a lad called James Hood. Hoodie, he was a total rascal. Hoodie had the deepest voice in our class. So he phoned up for tickets, got the tickets, age 13, I think, maybe 12 or 13, went through to Glasgow and didn't get in. Nice one for trying though, Hoodie. Good lad, good lad. What a classic album that was tonight. I'll have another one for you next week.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Ed Gamble is here today, and that's why we selected Royal Blood, because Ed, I believe you are a massive fan of the heavier end of the music spectrum.
I love heavy music.
Yeah.
I love the riff. I'm a sucker for the riff.
And you're a regular in these studios as well, Ed Gamble. You are a comedian pal of Ellis James, John Robbins, Josh Widdicombe and all that gang.
Oh, when anyone is ever off sick, I am, I'd say, the ninth text.
What's the quote? There's a Gore Vidal quote about there's nothing more annoying in life than seeing your friends being really successful. But your whole crop are doing brilliantly at that.
Oh, moment. Yeah. And I love seeing my friends being successful because, like I say, I'm always there. I'm poised. I'm ready to step in.
Because I think we've got an awful lot of ground to cover, but I think we should start with some shenanigans last year in New York, which
yes.
We followed really closely here at Radio X. It affected us. So you, John Robbins, and there was a third comedian, was there not?
There was two other comedians. There was Lloyd Langford and James Acaster, yeah.
Yeah, Acaster was there as
yeah.
well, wasn't he? So you all got stranded in New York.
Yes.
There was some great customer services rage on social media.
All from me, I have to say. I was very much painted as the sort of old angry man figure, whereas what was happening is no one else was doing any admin, so I had to pick up the slack.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm the one who comes in for all the stick.
But the positive side is you now have a show off the back of this. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. Now, I don't want anyone thinking anything disastrous happened. What happened was there was some bad weather and we got stuck for, I'd say, 4 days.
Yeah.
It was quite long. But essentially what happened was the holiday became magical because of all the snow and we got stuck abroad. But it made a number of sort of news websites, so that's why I thought I could make some hay out of this.
It didn't just make news websites. You were regularly popping up in the news. 4 comedians stranded in New
York.
Yes. Of all the difficult cities to get stranded in, it's not like you weren't going hungry or...
Oh, no. It's wonderful. It's my favourite city in the world.
So there's a net profit here, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I had a great time. It was good to extend the old holiday. Yeah, Lloyd and John made it onto Sky News. They got interviewed live on Sky News. Yeah. But Lloyd didn't say anything for that. John did all the talking and Lloyd just sat there sort of open-mouthed like a big Welsh goldfish.
I should say, John Robbins for 4 days, when things aren't going to plan or sticking to his tight regime, actually that could be quite torturous, I'd imagine.
He was more relaxed than I thought he would be. I thought this was going to be a disaster. I thought John will deal with the admin.
Yeah.
But honestly, he was just going, right, we'll deal with this, and then what pub are we going to celebrate the fact we're stranded? I think when he can't do anything, he's much more relaxed.
You are described as the diabetic comedian. Did that add extra drama to the trip?
On the BBC News website, yeah. I mean, the diabetes didn't cause much extra drama because I always make sure I travel with spare insulin.
Right.
So it's not like we were... I mean, that would have been a genuinely dramatic moment if I'd only taken enough for the 5 days we were there.
Why did they identify you as the diabetic comedian?
Well, I mean, they played right into my hands. Because I've been looking for a brand for a while.
Yeah.
It's just good to have an edge on everyone else, really, isn't it?
Operating sensibly around sugar, Ed Gamble.
Yeah.
1986.
Not sure that sells tickets, but there you go. That's my brand.
So the tour is called Blizzard, then?
It's called Blizzard, yes.
Terrifying blizzard in New York.
Oh, terrifying, yes.
And you're taking it off around the country?
Yes. So I've done quite a few already. I think we're about halfway through. We've just extended it, so we've added about 30 more dates in the autumn, which is great. I'm really looking forward to it.
Ed, you're going to have to get stranded somewhere again. Around about November, December time this year.
Yeah, just to sort of beef up the show a bit. Just to make it more topical so it's not sort of like one full year since we got stranded in New York.
We need another 30 days as soon as possible. Now, Ed, we said that you're a big fan of the heavier end of music.
Yes.
We've tried to select something that we thought would appeal to you. Are you aware of the Amazons? Do you like them?
I've not heard of the Amazons.
Right, well, I'm going to play you a song. I think this is right up your street.
Okay.
Right, this is Amazons and Mother, Ed Gamble.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Sanjeev Bhaskar is here as well. I've called him a national treasure, but he's just happy with national.
Yeah, a legal national.
A legal national.
Of this country.
Would you help me with my book, Sanjeev, as well? I've got a book coming up, hopefully, at some point this year called Slash Gordon, which is a terrible pun. But
good title.
Thank you very much. It's Awkward Encounters in the Bathroom with Famous People, where you find yourself just you and somebody else, and you have to make conversation. Because otherwise, it's just very unusual.
Why do you have to make conversation?
I don't like that awkward silence. You know, you have to say something. Have you got one we could share the book? There must have been a good one from the Kumars at 42, perhaps, or on tour at some stage.
No, the first one that comes to mind, actually, at a medical. So, you know, every time you do a movie or something, you do a medical.
Yeah.
And at this medical, they said, you know, a urine sample, if you don't mind. So I kind of went down the loo, which was down a long, narrow corridor. And then, you know, you drank some water beforehand, but it I was in there some time. It just wasn't coming. I wasn't feeling it. And finally managed to fill this, you know, the little beakery thing that they give you.
Yeah.
And as I came out of the door, standing in front of me was Donald Sutherland.
Oh,
right, who's about 6'5".
He's a big old man, isn't he?
And so it was that awkward thing where I couldn't back up because it meant both of us being in the toilet.
Yeah.
So he had to back up as well, and as he backed up, I don't know why I did this. I basically raised my beaker of urine and said, "Your good health." Down in one, and he just looked at me with all the derision that comment deserved.
I thought that would have been good for Donald Sutherland. He might be the kind of character who would have embraced that and taken it from you and drunk
it.
Maybe
he thought I was being serious. Maybe he thought I was...
So, Sanjeev, best of luck with Porters.
Thank you.
How many more episodes are there to go, do we know?
I think there's 4 more.
Best of luck, man. I hope we can see you doing some more other stand-up-y stuff soon as well.
Cheers, man. Thank
Excellent.
You.
Excellent. Sanjeev Bhaskar on Radio X.
Radio X. Gordon Smart. Radio X.
The fantastic comedian Ed Gamble is here. All right, Ed?
All right.
He's familiar around these parts. Do you have your own pass yet for coming in here?
I don't, no. I'm always on the little temporary sticker. But I'm hoping one day I get my own plastic one.
I'd like to ask you about touring the country, because I think, was it 2007, something like that, where you got the Chortle nomination. So you've been doing this for a long time now, 13 years, something like that.
Oh, yeah. I've been in it for a bit.
I don't think Durham University.
The Chortle nomination would have been after that, though, surely.
I can't remember.
I don't know. You say you can't remember, like you knew it anyway, yes, like you're not reading it off the sheet.
So written in a bit.
Was it 2007?
You were at Durham University.
Yeah, that's where.
And that's where you cut your comedy teeth.
Yes.
So you've probably had a few horrendous evenings on stage. Would you share your pain with us? Give us your worst gig and your best and worst heckle, please.
Oh, I tell you, my worst gig, which I think I've said to a few people before, it wasn't an evening gig. It started at noon.
That helps. Worst gig, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. So it started at noon. It was, I don't know if they still do it. There was Jamie Oliver ran a food festival called the Big Feastival.
Yes, with Alex James.
Yeah, I think it was on, was it in Battersea or, yeah, something like that, Clapham Common. And they decided this year to do comedy starting at noon. When the gates open at noon, by the way.
Right.
On the main stage. So, and I was on first, and the no compare I had to announce myself on.
How do you do that?
Well,
Did you hide behind a curtain and do a different voice?
Yeah, I was literally just stood off at the side of the stage. No one was there.
Right.
Was the other thing. So it doesn't even matter how I did it. Yeah. I said, it's noon, it's time for comedy. Please welcome to the stage, Ed Gamble. And I walked out to an empty field with some families, maybe a mile and a half away walking in, and basically just had to start the set. And I had to do it in the end by beckoning people over to talk to them to get something going. But they would take upwards of 8 minutes to walk to the stage. Yeah. So I just sort of had to wait and then speak to a man in an anorak.
Agony.
Yeah.
Agony.
Oh, absolute agony.
What kind of beckon did you go for? What did you have to sort of come?
Well, I had to be quite polite because they can easily turn that offer down. They're so far away. I said, excuse me, hello. Yeah. I'm not having a very good time at my job today. Please come over, sir.
What's the heckle that stopped you in your tracks? Is the one that you really admire that sticks with you?
Oh, I used to be a lot bigger, not career wise, literal size. I wore a top, like a jumper with horizontal stripes, and someone shouted, "Horizontal stripes are a fat man no-no," which is devastating, and you know, it's quite specific fashion advice.
And quite hurtful, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just
genuine. And true.
Now, Ed, would you do us the honour of choosing a song this afternoon? Like we say, you're a big metal fan.
I will.
Up your sleeve.
Let's have an old classic. Let's have Metallica, something like Enter Sandman.
Absolutely perfect. Ed Gamble's choice. But Metallica on Smart and Sound.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
That was Metallica, as chosen by Ed Gamble. This is Smart on Sunday, Gordon Smart here. Thank you very much for choosing that, Ed.
Oh, thank you for playing it.
Ed, I'm writing a book called Slash Gordon.
Okay.
It's about awkward encounters in the bathroom with famous people and having to make conversation when you find yourself in close proximity to somebody quite well known.
Yes.
Have you got an entry for the book that I can ask you to give us from your time on the road or perhaps doing one of the panel shows?
I think I do. I think I've got two stories from the same event, one of which is an awkward interaction and one of which is a toilet-based not interaction.
Both are absolutely perfect.
So I did a show for BBC America called Almost Royal, where I had to pretend to be a member of the royal family.
Yes.
And went around basically doing like a faux documentary, but convincing real people in America that I was in the royal family with Amy Hoggart. We played brother and sister. And as part of the press for that first series, they thought it would be a good idea for us to go to the LA BAFTA Awards in character and film this video where I went and got this fake tan that was like the thickest fake tan.
Right.
It was, you know, bordering on offensive. really thick fake tan. And then go and walk the red carpet at the LA BAFTAs. And there's big celebrities there. So the first thing I remember is walking out onto the red carpet. And then they went, no, come back. You've got to come back. You've gone on too early. And I turned around and I was face to face with Robert Downey Jr. and he was baffled. I went, hello.
Who famously did in Tropic Thunder exactly what you were doing.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, he should have been more on board with it. At the end of the red carpet, Dustin Hoffman walked off the red carpet and looked at me like baffled. I was like, that's fair enough. I look bizarre. But then I looked back round 10 seconds later and he was still looking at me. And I swear it was for a full 45 seconds he was staring at me until a woman he was with had to guide him away. So that was very awkward. And then later on, I had an awkward sort of chat and nod with Jamie Foxx at the urinals.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And what's the did he open the conversation or did you venture first?
Foxy.
Foxy too.
See, we were supposed to have finished the character thing there, but also I'd just been to the toilet to try and wipe off the fake tan because the awards were about to start. We were sat on like a front table and we were on a table with like a Jenna Coleman was on the table.
Right, yeah.
And I'm a big fan of hers, but I had to like go and really try and wipe this off, but the neck was still like thick brown. So I just what do you say to Jamie Foxx in that situation?
Oh no.
Yeah.
That is brilliant. can you remember what he said to you?
I think he just mumbled something. I mean, what do you say to someone with an obviously tanned neck and pale white face?
Well, talking of pale white faces, James Acaster is your podcast co-host, isn't
yes,
he?
Yes,
and we had Acaster and Woody come on recently. And the podcasting's going brilliantly for you, Mob, isn't it?
I've done podcasts in the past, but I hadn't done
Peacock.
Anything for a while. Yeah. So I've not done it for ages. Yeah. So I was a bit sort of like, a bit trepidant getting back into it. But it's sort of taken off pretty quickly. Which we're very happy about.
Give us a little window into the world of working with James Acaster.
Oh, it's great fun. So the podcast's about food, and he is absolutely obsessive about food.
Right. It's so, off the menu, it's called, isn't it?
Off menu, off just menu. Yeah. Off menu. No messing around. and we speak to a guest every week and ask them about their dream menu, starter, main, side, dessert, drink, basically. Yeah. But it's set in a dream restaurant and James plays a genie, which was a detail he added during the first episode without consulting me.
So you can see Ed Gamble on tour. If you want to get tickets for Blizzard, how do you do that, Ed?
You can go on my website, edgamble.co.uk/gigs. That'll tell you a full list of everything I'm doing up until May, and then the tour starts again in September.
Ed Gamble, thank you so much for coming on. It's lovely to see you. Best luck with the podcast and the rest of the tour.
Thank you very much for having me. Radio X.